Research physicist author Stan Dale has worked undercover for the FBI, as well as holding top secret security clearance. Stan took part in an exclusive black project which specialized in flying saucer technology, and he is an expert when it comes to Earth changes. Here he is this hour, Stan Dale. Hey, Stan, how are you?
I'm fine, George. I think I ought to get over there to Hollywood sometime and catch up with you guys.
We'd like to see you again. Yeah, I was looking at your website, and I've noticed that you've come up with some thoughts on what you call an unnatural grid appearing in the Nevada earthquakes. I, too, agree with you, Stan. There's something very strange going on here.
You know, George, I looked at that as it was forming two or three days ago, like everybody else, with the flurry of quake. And I looked at it on Google Earth. Which lets you zoom in onto it and put the height of the mountain.
Sure.
See the lay of the terrain. And I was, kind of interested. And something about it bugged me, but I was busy doing something else and put it away until this morning. I came back again and just thought I'd have a look and see how things were going. As I was zooming down in from the altitude that they have the map on Google Earth, I realized I was looking at a regular pattern, like a grid square, where these earthquakes occurred. Right over the Verde Mogul, which is just west of Reno, where the quakes are occurring. And I thought, now that must be an anomaly, must be some kind of a computer sensor error or something. I mean, surely they wouldn't have earthquakes that are regular in square patterns. I mean, like 19 squares, perfect squares the same size. Now, couldn't be. So I started going all over the planet looking at other Google Earth plots. There was about 1,500 earthquakes to look at. And I scanned the hot spots around and couldn't find any of them with the same characteristic. So I went back, and then I started looking at each individual dot and zoomed down close to where that earthquake was. And in that grid, on the vertices of the grid, which we put on our website, and I think, I don't know whether you guys have it yet, but we're trying to get up on your website too. It's like a tic-tac-toe board, and where the lines cross in it is where these earthquakes all occurred at regular intervals. And so I started clicking on each one and found out it wasn't one earthquake in each of those places. It was like sometimes 40 or 50 in that one spot. And so I thought, wow. And I said, well, which ones of these vertices in this regular grid had these enormous number of earthquakes? And it was something like grids 5, 8, 10, and 15, or whatever it is. I've got Holly put it up on the website. But it was like the majority of the earthquakes that got triggered at these grid marks were along a spot that they wanted to hit. There's intelligent design behind what I'm trying to say. Someone has done something to make this earthquake series happen, and they've been pounding the heck out of these grid marks to make the bigger earthquakes occur in between these vertices. Once I realized that, it was just obvious, something is wrong here.
Is this, Stan, perhaps some kind of test of some kind of weapon?
Well, I thought about that, too, and it could well be. It may be a couple of other things, but the weapon side of it, if you go back to 1997, Bill Cohen was the Secretary of Defense.
Right.
He's often quoted as saying, about how they could use electromagnetic weapons, our enemies, to create earthquakes and volcanoes artificially. Now, since that time, there's been very little in the press that I could find about the government actually or any member of the Defense Department or military coming out and saying, yes, we're aware of the earthquake generation process and we're in the earthquake and volcano arms race. They're not saying anything, but you and I both know that as early as 1977 that the Russians and the United States signed a treaty banning certain types of weather warfare, including earthquake simulations, tsunamis, and that kind of stuff. So that was like 1977, which is last century. And we're here now in modern technology with the Russians in a position where they've got to probably go down and help Iran and Syria by treaty. Should Israel strike Iran, or should the United States do it, or should Israel and the United States do it together? So we are in a situation where we can expect ourselves to be in an economic war right now and in a geological and weather warfare. And this flurry of earthquakes isn't the only weird thing that's happened in the last 5 days, weather-wise, to the United States. There's another one down in the Gulf of Mexico, which lasted for 2 hours, and one of your listeners sent it in to me earlier today. I guess I won't say his name, but anyway, his first name's Lance, and thank you for that, Lance. There was a tremendous low-pressure area like you would see in the middle of a very huge tornado or a very small hurricane.
Right, right.
And it formed right off the coast of Mississippi at about 6 o'clock in the morning on May the 2nd, Friday, yesterday. And 2.5 hours or 2 hours later, it was gone. Totally disappeared and everything normalized. Now, it was there for two of the hour updates when you get it from the Weather Underground printout, and then it disappeared. Now, that is something that can be manipulated by electromagnetic scalar waves.
Let's look at these possibilities of these swarm of earthquakes near Reno. First of all, one, it's naturally occurring. That's possible, except the planet, at least in current record times, has never acted this way. When you get a series of earthquakes, as you know, Stan, they get weaker, not stronger. This is topsy-turvy. So that's strange, and that's beginning to make me wonder that these things aren't being done naturally, that something else is going on. The fact that you have said something about the unnatural grid patterns, I didn't know about that until I went to your website. That's weird all by itself.
Well, a couple of your listeners, wrote in earlier before we started the show, said, look, I've seen what you've got up there, and we noticed it was weird too, but didn't know why. Even the USGS geologist said to the people of Reno and of Mogul, look, don't worry about it. These are shallow quakes. We don't really understand why it's happening, but don't worry about it because they're shallow, which means it's not from volcanic gases or a magma moving up to the surface. Now, why would they even tell them it's not that if something like that into consideration that it would be possible? I've got more to tell you about that volcano business under Mogul in a moment, but I've been looking at something here that's even more astounding than the grid pattern in that area that we had all missed until I got on Google Earth and spun it around in 3D and flew down around it. And then I got an email from Lake Tahoe from Griff on the north shore of Lake Tahoe. And at Griff this morning, they were smelling sulfurous gases. And Lake Tahoe is an old, very old, like really old volcanic area under the lake. And it connects. It's only 19 miles from where all these earthquakes are.
So you're not saying, or are you, that maybe this is going to blow?
Well, I'm not saying that. But if you look at this, spin around the city of Mogul with Google Earth, suddenly you see something very, very interesting. I'm looking right at it now, and spread out around in a circle around Mogul. First of all, there's a circle that encompasses the golf course there, the Crystal Peak Golf Course, just outside of Mogul. A circle like you would think, well, maybe that was a subsidence, or maybe it was a cone that lifted up and then fell back. And you think, no, it couldn't be. Then you move out to a bigger circle out from that, probably the same diameter, about three diameters of that circle around the golf course area. You can see it. It's just plain as a nose in your face. And it now looks as though there were a meteor impact of significant size a long time ago, and the outer rim of it is the mountainous area around Mogul, and the pop-up that comes when a meteor strikes and then it splashes up stuff and it forms a little dome in the center.
Right.
That pop-up has eroded and flowed down, and you can see it there. It's like a huge impact crater. Now, that would have gone, something that big would have gone down into the crust. So, and especially something that big hitting on a fault line, which you can see, it goes right down into Lake Tahoe. This is fascinating. Tahoe, yeah. So with them smelling gases, sulfuric type gases down there this morning, just 19 miles away at Tahoe, then I'm starting to wonder: are we looking at a bigger picture of either subsidence, of magma eruption, what? You know, there's something more to this. And the fact that we're seeing those regular grid patterns of earthquakes, and not just one earthquake on a grid zone, but like 10, 15, 20, 30 of them in one spot over several days without moving.
Could this grid pattern, Stan, happen naturally, or is that way off?
I don't think so. I've never seen anything like it. No way. No. There's 19 grid points equally spaced. I've drawn it out. This does not happen.
No, it doesn't happen that way. So what does your gut tell you, Stan Dale? What do you think's going on? honestly.
Well, okay, here's some natural thinking for you. If it's not magma, volcano, or old, impact sites or stuff like this, because they're regular and they are occurring underground, and we know Nevada has a history of underground tunnels for, research or bases or whatever, is it possible that what really happens outside Reno there at Mogul is that we've got an underground base that has regular spacings or pillars or something, command post, I don't know what, that these are being shaken or being set off to trigger stresses building up in the area? I mean, there's an Air Force base, not just a... it's an airport. It's the Reno Airport, mm-hmm, which is probably about 8 miles just across the edge of this crater rim. And you just go over the crater rim, there's the airport. So I'm thinking, we use civilian airports to move classified military stuff at night. And, is this an underground facility?
Let me ask you this, Dan. From above, from satellites, do you think anybody has the capability of shooting some kind of beam or sound or something that would cause this from space?
I think it's possible, yes. I think it's possible to target. I didn't think that they could be this accurate, but, hey, technology's gone a long way since I was doing anything with it, and I'm afraid that this time I'm going to have to join that growing crowd of people that say scalar weapons. There's a way to use, as the Defense Secretary Cohen said, electromagnetic waves to create the earthquake. Now, electromagnetic waves are used to create scalar waves. So from the horse's mouth, 20 years ago, they were talking about it. So they have got to have come a long way beyond that. Here's another example. When the sun occasionally throws off a coronal mass ejection, it's like a smoke ring of plasma, and it strikes the earth hard. I've seen it twice in the 10 years of watching it on the Navy data. When it strikes the earth, that plasma thing goes into our magnetic field down inside the planet, creates a thermal ball of energy that bounces around inside the planet for a day, maybe a day and a half, and I could track the hot spots in the sea surface temperature map. And right around those areas, we would have some seismic activity.
Santiago, if we have this capability, the United States,
right,
why are we testing it in the Reno, Nevada area?
I'm not sure we are.
So you don't think it's us?
Well, I'm just wondering if we aren't being hit by somebody else. As I said earlier, we're at war with Russia very soon.
I know.
And one of the things that they have depended on, are going to use, is if we have another natural disaster, quote-unquote natural, disaster like Katrina.
Like Katrina, yeah.
Earthquakes on the West Coast, which we have a lot of in California right now, and up in the Juan de Fuca Plate, and here. Maybe this is a release of a pressure zone that will shake California to pieces. I don't know. But when we have a catastrophe of this magnitude happen in California, and you're aware of how much the seismologists have officially been coming out and saying the big one is coming recently, now they're training people to take care or to mitigate the situation when the big earthquake hits out there. If that hits, we're going to be so busy with problems internally that any of our military forces are left in the National Guard and various bases are going to be helping out with that disaster, and perfect time to strike it. Now, they have to take us out because we will have to support Israel if the Iranian conflict flares into full bloom. And the Israelis, they're going to make a preemptive strike if we don't. Regardless of whether we side with them or not, they're going to do it. And we will side with them. We will support them.
Well, this is kind of this increases the stakes, Dan Dale, because if it's not our technology, then this kind of technology can be devastating. Can you imagine if you aim it at major metropolitan areas?
Well, the damage would be a lot more. I'm just wondering here, as I was saying, if this is what they're meaning to do the real damage to, or if they're hitting one of our secret bases for some reason there, because certainly Nevada's got its share of them. Or is this a trigger mechanism that will release something in California or Washington State or Oregon where we have the population? I'm not so sure that this is, not a kind of a sideways slap at some city somewhere else. because if you look over just, how many miles is it? It's about 40 miles north of Santa Rosa. There's a whole cluster of earthquakes there, like in Reno, except they aren't on a grid.
Yeah, it's the grid that makes this even more puzzling, and the fact that these are increasing intensity, not diminishing. Stay with us. Stan Dale's website, STANDEYO.com. There is a link now at coasttocoastam.com on the grid that Stan sees in this Nevada area. We're going to open up the phone lines now and take your calls this hour with Stan Dale on Coast to Coast AM. Yes, in just a moment, we're going to take your phone calls with Stan Dale, who believes there's something going on with these earthquakes in Nevada. I'll be on Coast to Coast this Sunday, but, of course, Saturdays belong to Ian Punnett. Ian, how are you?
I love that Beatles song.
Me too. Hey, before we get into your Saturday show and the Saturday guest, I've got to ask you, you interviewed a couple times the D.C. Madam on this program.
Yeah, sure did. Thank you for asking about her.
And you know, she's gone now. Yeah. Alex Jones interviewed her on his show, and she told him specifically, when he asked her, he says, would you ever contemplate suicide? She said, of course not. Not at all. I'm going through this courts, and we'll see what happens. Well, of course, as you know, she got convicted. I want your impression, Ian. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm torn, because partly I have been talking about this, and I actually asked several other women about this, about the method that was used here seemed inconsistent with the way, sadly, when, you know, gender types cleave to certain, you know, methods of suicide. This type of suicide on her part, if that's what happened, seems inconsistent with the way a lot of women do it. At the same time, that's what I thought going into the conversation. And I heard from a lot of other women, no, actually, they've known many people who have done what Deborah Jean Palfrey did, who are women. So that made me think twice about it. And then I saw this thing about the note and some comments that she had made to her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder whether she had a strong resolve to say things like that to Alex Jones, or for that matter, to other people in the press, is so strong as to try to talk herself out of it, but in the end she just couldn't bear the thought of going back to prison. I've been wondering with it ever since, though, whether or not there's anything to the thought that she might have been too much of a threat in between mm-hmm. the conviction and a sentencing. But apparently a small area, and somebody would have noticed something, and I don't know. I guess I'm waiting for more. But she didn't seem like the type, if that's possible, and she seemed like the kind of a person who was willing to come out fighting more than just, you know, throw in the towel like that.
And I suspect she knew some very powerful names.
Well, and there's any number of different rumors about the names that were on the list that she was hoping to get verified by news agencies, which they didn't do. And that was one of the things we talked about the last time I had her on the air, is kind of her disappointment that ABC didn't do more with the list and that other people didn't do more with the list, because she thought there were some bigger names on there than anybody had found, other than Vitter and the Assistant Secretary of State.
Charles Fort story coming up on Coast to Coast this Saturday.
Do you know him?
No, I knew about him.
We all owe Charles Fort money.
You know, the guy was incredible. He's a paranormal investigator of his time.
He invented the genre, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he defined it. He created it. Anybody who enjoys Coast to Coast has to know the story of Charles Fort. We'll talk about it tomorrow night. There's a reason why we say 40 in times, and you'll hear more about that. Also, we'll have an update on this smiley face serial killers story. The investigative reporter, Christy Peel, who's been working the story from the very beginning, will be on tomorrow night with new details.
Bizarre story.
Very. And it was an amazing show last Friday night when you had the night off. And then we'll pick it up tomorrow night with an update in the first hour. Christy Peel is coming back on, and she'll tell us the latest that she knows, things that she has heard, that she can report to us about this investigation.
Very good. Thanks, Ian.
All right. Have a great show.
Look forward to you on Saturday night. Back with your questions with Stan Dale next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Stan, seismologists don't know what's going on, but they are saying prepare for the big one. What do you think about that?
I think that in itself tells you something, because seismologists like volcanologists are very loath to put their job on the line by predicting major disasters, even when they've got signals indicating it. The documentary on the Pinatubo volcano explained that, how they finally had to call it and put their whole career on the line on one call, that saying evacuate, evacuate, just in case. Now, in the case of the Reno quake, there are not that many people in the area that would be affected by it, one would think. We just got an email in from one of the Reno residents, Candace, who just, she heard it on the show here and said, look, I've read your article, and she said, I live in northwest Reno, 3 miles where the quakes are happening, and I'm scared to death. She said, I hope they stop soon. We're being told, and that's by the USGS, to prepare in case a larger one hits. We've got supplies we need here. However, it doesn't take away the fear. Now, the fear factor is the thing we've got to focus on here, because if nothing happens and they frighten the heck out of everybody, then they're all going to say, oh, the USGS, you're a bunch of clowns. Don't listen to them. It's boy cried wolf. But that's, you've got to take that, the good with the bad. We've got to let these guys have some latitude and give them a break if they call it and it doesn't happen. But the fact that they are going out there and risking that now tells me they are concerned at USGS.
Let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead, please.
Hi, George. Hi, Stan. Hey, good. George, I listen to you every night, and I live about a mile from where these quakes are happening. With all due respect to your guest, this is just careless speculation. Okay, there are no secret bases out in Mogul. I don't know why is it that every time that something happens in Nevada that they want to ascribe it to people, to the black helicopter crowd. This is along a seismically active fault right along Tahoe. What most people don't realize is that Nevada is the third most seismically active state in the country. These things haven't been on any particular pattern. We have had small ones. We have had big ones, yes. It has been happening for the past couple of months. But to make that leap to think that somebody's shooting a beam down from outer space is honestly quite ridiculous.
Well, let you react to that, Stan. Go ahead.
Oh, well, the man's entitled to his opinion, but he's wrong about it not being a pattern. I mean, that's why we've got the photographic evidence up there before it disappears. He's absolutely wrong. These patterns do not occur naturally. And certainly he's right about the fault line being there. That's been there. And Nevada and California in that area on the border there have been seismologically and geologically active for millions of years and in recent times. So, he's right about that. But
I mean, you didn't create the grid. You are looking at the grid, okay?
Yeah. So, I appreciate his input, but, for the contrary view. But, tell me why there's a definite grid pattern. I'd like to know that. I've just never seen anything like it all the time that I have been studying the earthquakes in 10 years. And, I've been on the show since 95 with Art.
You've been on it for a long time. That's
and
right.
And today we have nearly 1,500 quakes on the North American map. That includes Alaska and the continental United States and Hawaii, probably Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. But I've never seen that many except back in 1996, I think it was, when we had rumblings under, I think it was the crater volcano at Mauna Loa there somewhere. It was potentially going to erupt, and there were rumblings down underneath it, and we were getting over 2,000 quakes a day under just that spot. But other than that, seeing this many quakes is quite unusual for the whole United States. Look at Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. Go to your Google Maps and look there, and you will see there's a bunch of quakes happening down there, but not in a pattern, not in a grid. They're just happening down there.
And had you not seen the pattern or the grid, what would you be saying about this situation?
Oh, I'd probably be saying, well, yeah, there's probably somebody out there dynamiting or something triggered some stress relief or something since it was a shallow quake just normal movements. I wouldn't have been excited about it, but it grabbed me in the back of my mind, as I said a couple of days ago when I saw this thing and thought something was wrong about this and couldn't put my finger on it until I zoomed in at the right angle, and suddenly my eyes saw the pattern. You know how you can see patterns in things like, Rochard tests and stuff? I saw the pattern. I thought, whoa, you're seeing things. And then I went down to measure, to draw that to be sure before I said anything, and I have never seen it. I don't care what that guy in Nevada says. His neighbors aren't saying the same thing.
Let's go east of the Rockies. We've got you, Angela, in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. Love the show. Stan, I actually, we had an earthquake in Indiana, and we felt it here in Michigan. Earthquakes are unheard of here. And I was wondering, does the caldera in Yellowstone run under Nevada? And what about Mount St. Helens? Is that growing in intensity? And I'll take the answer off of the air. Thank you.
Right, okay,
thank
sure.
Angela, I don't know how far the caldera extends. It's certainly right close to the border. I mean, just right on it to Nevada. And I'm sure it didn't recognize state borders, so it followed the geology of the area. So it probably does intrude into Nevada in that area. This calls to mind a dream vision that I had. I don't get many. I haven't had many in my entire life. But when I do get them, they tend to happen, within a certain amount of time. This one has not happened yet, but it scared the life out of me. And I saw in the dream vision, I was out in the air over the Pacific near Vancouver Island looking down the coast of the United States where I could see the Sierras down to the other end and the Cascades up Washington. And I saw between 6 and 8 volcanoes all erupting at the same time, throwing huge debris clouds and ash into the air, dropping ash on highways with water in, water vapor in them, and the highways were becoming slippery, and people were falling off the edges of roads into the valleys and stuff because it was like driving on the black ice. They couldn't control their vehicles.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I saw this all the way down to Mexico City, to the one at Popo down there, all going at once, all along this geological fault line area where the volcanoes and quakes are occurring. So I do think I'm concerned about this. They're just signs of things starting to build, and I don't like all these earthquakes in such concentrated areas where they're just, too many. And we're watching now Mount St. Helens. I don't see anything there to upset, but certainly the Aleutian Island chain has been busy, and the Juan de Fuca plate, that concerns me because there's a 9 to 9.5 Richter quake that can come out of that area, and it's the only area along the Pacific Ring of Fire all around the Pacific. It's the only area in the last 52 years that has not released its major stress, and it is equal to or greater than the one they had down in Indonesia. What was it, in 2005? Was that when that occurred, George? That 9, Richter 9 down there, that tsunami?
Yeah, I believe it was December of 2005, I'm pretty
sure. Okay, well, this is greater than that. And so when you see these fractures, bigger quakes occurring in the Juan de Fuca plate, which has 2 or 3 fractures in it, it does concern me. And if you remember, before I lost my Navy data, you and I were talking on the air back in 2006 in November, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Right along there, I saw thermal buildup for 2,000 miles out from Eureka, out toward, on the Mendocino Fault Line, or ridge, all the way out into the middle of the North Pacific. I'd never seen anything like it. It was like the whole Mendocino Fault out there to sea was stressing. And you say, well, how long? I don't know. I've never seen anything this big, before. It might be weeks or months. Well, it hasn't happened yet, but at the very end of it, where the Juan de Fuca Plate joins to the United States in Northern California, just above Eureka, we're now starting to see the quake. And so I'm starting to wonder if it was just a very long lead time for that, saying there are big movements ahead.
Let's go for a first-time caller line in Seattle. Hello, Ryan. You're on the air with us.
Hey, my name is Ryan, and I'm listening out of Seattle here. I think the first caller needs to spend more than 15 minutes looking into this before he generalizes an opinion about it. It's just it reminds me of a large segment of our population that comes to quick conclusions about something without really doing the research on it. And anyways, my question is for you, Stan. You worked for the government for many years. I was wondering what you thought about Phil Snyder and what he had to say. He was a former geologist that was in charge of hollowing out one of the hundreds of underground bases around
the
world.
And a good one. The late Phil
Snyder. What he had to say was I wondered if you thought he was on target with what you know, and if you think that some things in what he said was true.
Ryan, hold it just a second. I must confess ignorance. about the gentleman. Can you give me some more, hit the high points quickly, what he said, what he say?
Well, Phil Snyder was a geologist that worked, and he talked about
underground tunnels, all over the
underground bases throughout the world, and he encountered, as a matter of fact, he encountered some paranormal experiences while he was shortly after he came out, and there's a video of him talking about it.
Are you thinking? Are you asking me? Are there underground bases? In my opinion. Is that part of it?
Well, I think he's trying to find out if you think all this underground tunnels and possible bases might be contributing to some of the seismic situation we're having.
Well, I'm pretty sure that some of it would be smaller quakes under Richter 1, I'm sure. The fact that we have tunneling machines is no secret. The United States Air Force has pictures of its 30-foot diameter tunnel bore that goes on a rail straight into a mountain and chews up the mountain and spits it out through the center of the train like it's a donut that chews, and there's a hole in the middle of the donut and shoves it out in the conveyor belt out the back. The Germans have got one that's 42 feet in diameter that we've got pictures of off the Internet. My uncle, who are now deceased, but they were electricians that wired atomic bombs in underground facilities, okay? So, they do exist. We've got them all over the planet. It's not just the United States. The Russians have got them. Chinese have got heaps of them. Who was the other country? Anyway, Norway. And Sweden has some as well. So it's a common practice. And we had a phone call from a friend down in Arizona. I think it was in Tucson. And we corresponded back and forth. And she was complaining one night that she went to bed, and her bed started to vibrate. The floor did. And it moved her bed clear across the bedroom in a few minutes. And she said, and it'd keep on vibrating like that, and this noise underneath us, and then it would stop. And then the next night it would come again. And I suspect where they are there in Arizona, that what was happening is there was tunneling going on, and it hit some bedrock or something and transmitted the vibration to her house near Tucson, you see. So anyway, I mean, it's a logical place to put your bases these days because you've got to hide your thermal signature and any other kind of depth sensing they've got from satellites and aircraft to try to keep the enemy from finding out where you are. It's just the world we live in. But, yeah, if that guy said about the tunnels, I think I agree with him.
Let's go to our wild card line, Andy in Los Angeles. Hi, Andy.
Joe, Judge. Stan, do you believe, number one, that the U.S. has the technology to trace the source of possible scalar wave attack against the United States that could have created those mini quakes? And number two, do you believe that the Hurricane Katrina was orchestrated by another power, possibly Russia?
Is he still there?
Yes.
Go ahead, Stan.
Okay. The second question first, Katrina could have been manipulated. I don't have enough information to be coherent on that, but there were reports that it seemed to deviate at the last and hit the target, so it's possible. But it would you'd have to have a lot of energy, and I did the sums on it once, and it just seemed like a huge amount of energy. It would take weeks for something like HAARP to pump the energy in to move that. So I didn't think HAARP did it, but then you've got Riga and you've got the Chinese equivalent. So it is possible that other powers may have been doing that. And your first question, do we have the technology to track the vectors of these scalar waves? I think we do. But the problem that any of these countries that have got at least three of them would have is this. If each country is putting out electromagnetic waves to make scalar interface waves, they are going to be interacting with the other country's wave. And so if one turns off his transmitter at the wrong time or the right time, point of view is, it'll screw up the other guy's transmission of his scalar wave, unless they're using different frequencies that overlap and don't compete. So it's a very, very complex issue on a global scale to try to figure out what the other guy is doing, you know, several days ahead of time, and then block him or go hit his station with your own scalar wave. So yes, we have the technology to generate, and I think we have the technology to track.
Stan, keep monitoring this grid that you see, this pattern of grids, and I have a feeling we're going to have you back on again. Thank you. Stan Dale, website linked up at coasttocoastam.com.